Your relationship can't survive on the leftovers of your time, your energy, or your attention.
That's why we created Grounded in Love, a couples retreat in Sedona, Arizona on beautiful Oak Creek Canyon. It's October 22nd to 25th, which is a Thursday to a Sunday.
This isn't just a getaway. This is for intentional days to slow down, reconnect, build emotional safety, and create the kind of relationship you've been working so hard to build.
We'll guide you through powerful workshops, private coaching sessions, plenty of powerful experiential moments to connect the two of you, and plenty of time for just the two of you to enjoy.
We intentionally limited this retreat to 8 couples so that you could have a deeply personalized experience. We have filled half of the retreat, so we have 4 spaces remaining.
So if you've been looking for the right time to invest in your relationship, this is it. Click the link in the show notes or email us at coaching@relationshiprenovation.com, and we'll set up a 30-minute discovery call to make sure it's a great fit for you.
We'd love to spend the long weekend with you. Today, we are talking about something that so many couples silently struggle with, and that is intimacy pressure.
And we're not just talking about sex. I mean, we're talking about emotional safety. We're talking about what happens when couples start feeling disconnected around their intimacy.
One person can start feeling rejected, lonely, unwanted,
while the other person feels overwhelmed, anxious, and like they're not enough.
And the hardest part is that usually both people are hurting at the exact same time and they don't know how to come together.
So today we're talking about how couples accidentally start these pressure cycles and how emotional safety leaves their relationship and they both begin to feel resentful.
And we also, of course, share our own story because we've lived both sides of this.
So if intimacy has begun to feel heavy, avoidant, and create conflict, we're going to help you understand today exactly why that's happening.
And next week in part 2, we're going to be really talking about how couples can rebuild intimacy, connection, emotional safety without the pressure.
So let's get into it.
Hello, all, and welcome to the Relationship Renovation Podcast. I'm Tara Kerwin.
And my name is EJ Kerwin, and this is a great topic because, one, it's one that we really have worked through ourselves over years. It's something we are, pardon the pun, but like intimately connected to.
Yes.
But it's also something that we see almost every couple struggle with at some point in their relationship.
And it's so difficult and it's such a hard thing to talk about and not having the skills or how to talk about it. I think people get really confused and perplexed about it. So here we are. We're going to talk about pressure and intimacy today.
And a great place, if you haven't already listened to, we have a series all about emotional and physical intimacy. And that's great because it kind of breaks down the whole spectrum of intimacy because that's something we totally believe is important that we have to cultivate all aspects of intimacy. And so what we want to really clarify as we begin is that this pressure around intimacy that we're going to be talking about, it's rarely just about sex.
Yeah. It's not just about sex, people.
Yeah, I mean, but it oftentimes may be sort of sex is the aspect of the relationship that sort of is the main signal.
Yeah.
Like oftentimes when people come into to work with us, they say we're struggling with our intimacy, but they're using the word sort of synonymously with sex.
Well, and the pressure quietly builds over time, but I have to share this because we're watching The Valley season 3, I think, the one without Jax.
That's hilarious.
And like, who just had the baby?
Oh, what's her name?
Oh, it starts with a... Anyway, one of the cast members just had a baby and her partner, her husband is like really frustrated sexually.
When are
like,
we gonna the baby start having is, sex again?
The baby's like 3 months old and she's like, it's the last thing I want to do. And I'm like watching it last night. This is why we want to talk about it today because I literally was like, we have to talk about that. I could feel what she was feeling. And I was like, it's like people don't even understand it until you're in it. And so I know he feels like, oh my gosh, we're not who we used to be. And like, we can't let this baby come between our intimacy. And we used to have such good sex. And I could see her being like, my God, like I have no energy left. It's the last thing. My body doesn't feel like mine. I don't even know who I am. And so again, we saw that yesterday, and that's how this topic came to fruition today.
Yeah. And I think like the saddest part, and this is what oftentimes diminishes the more emotional connection, and we'll talk a lot about emotional safety in the next two episodes, is that both partners start to feel very alone, but sort of what they're struggling with at its core and sort of like what it is that's agitating them is very different. But at the bottom line is it's a disconnecting moment in their relationship.
Because you felt what?
Oh, let's see. A lot of times felt unwanted. I felt frustrated. I felt alone. Mm-hmm. And then rejected. Like, I think that's like the hardest thing that one partner really starts to drop into, is they just feel like, man, like she just doesn't want me. She doesn't want to be around me. She doesn't even, now it doesn't even seem like she likes me.
And I was feeling very overwhelmed, anxious, nervous, and like what I was doing wasn't enough, so that like you're just objectifying me, kind of. That's how I was feeling. Yet we didn't know that that's how each other was feeling. We just let that pressure build, and then it became this like eggshell topic, and it never had been in our relationship before. Like, we were so comfortable. Even during pregnancy, we had awesome fun. And then it was just like over those first 2 years after the baby, like we had no idea. Yeah. So again, here we are, and we're going to kind of start with how pressure even enters the system.
Well, I mean, and that little sort of story you said there about how everything had been like fun and easy for like quite some time. And then when it started to break down, that main sort of descriptor we're using today is pressure. It was like everything around our connection started to feel like highly pressurized.
Okay, so let's talk about how pressure enters the system.
Absolutely.
For me, and I'm going to talk about like, I just had these like expectations that you'd be cool. Like, I have these two babies. Like, I didn't know what it would be like for me, but I honestly expected that you would just be like, oh yeah, of course. She's like definitely like not going to be herself, that you would be more. My expectation is that you would be more patient, because I didn't even know what my process was like. So on talked about expectations.
Yeah. And it's almost like intimacy begins to feel like really loaded, because eventually, right, there's the symptom, right? It's like, you know, we're not having sex. We're now feeling a little emotionally distant, right?
Yeah.
And that starts to feel like conflict.
Yeah.
You know, and then because our perspectives are so different, or like many couples, like, you know, like using that same example from the Valley, like anytime you talk about it, it starts to feel like it's oppositional.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, this is what's happening for me.
Opposite needs.
Yes. Very, very opposite needs. So like, what would you say on your side, Tara, contributed to the pressure around what were the needs that you had?
So again, everybody's different, but I'm a people pleaser. And like, I don't like when people are uncomfortable. That's like my right wounded child self. And so I could feel your impatience and frustration, but you weren't talking about it. So then I would get like really nervous, and my anxious attachment would be like, oh my gosh, it's been like 2 weeks. I'd start counting in my head, like, it's been 2 weeks. He's starting to get sexually frustrated. Like, that for me, I could feel your suffering, but I thought it was like anger, or I don't know. Like, that's the only way I could describe it.
Well, and I read that, right? And so like, and I think it's this way with a lot of couples, and it's not just, you know, we're kind of using like the pregnancy thing, but this disconnection happens for a ton of reasons. Just people's libido changes. Mm-hmm. You're not cultivating other aspects
stressful
of your relationship. Yeah, there's just a lot going on. But it, you know, in our case, like, I sensed it, right? Like, I sensed, you know, that it was hard on you too. Like, I got that. You would tell me, you would say, like, you don't think I, you know, that I don't want to want. And so.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I would sort of, we would only talk about it episodically. And that's. And
when the pressure built.
And yeah, when there was already pressure that existed.
Yeah.
But most couples that we talk to, when we ask them about, like, you know, when they're at the beginning of the process and we're trying to have an understanding of what's going on, they will both say, like, yeah, there's definitely, like, we're intimately disconnected. And we'll say, like, well, how much are you guys talking about it? Mm-hmm. And they'll say, like, almost not at all.
Yeah.
And so whether you, like us, where we were talking about it episodically, maybe once every like 4 or 6 weeks, yeah, the pressure would build then.
Yeah.
But some couples, when they don't talk about it at all, yeah, then the pressure is building like silently over weeks, months, sometimes years.
Yeah. I also feel like this is where powerlessness comes in. I could see from like both sides, because I remember thinking like everything was so good and like we were so excited to have our babies and blend our family, and now this is a shit show, and like, oh my God, did we make a mistake? Like, we're now angry, like there's this pressure in our system that we never thought. And so it was like this, you're like kind of creating like a, is this even real? Like, this isn't what I thought it would be at all. And then there's that fear that, did I make a mistake? I mean, that's the thing, that fear starts to kind of underwrite the system.
Yeah. And the bottom line is the whole relationship begins to feel pressurized, yeah, right? Like, there's just like, yeah, this, like, we're walking around like not trying to step on grenades, you know. It's just like, oh, like nothing feels safe. And then one dynamic that really starts out in that moment is there's this pursuer withdrawer cycle, right? And in that, you know, one partner is sort of sometimes the one who's reaching out more, and then one partner is the one who's protecting more. And I think the interesting thing with most couples, and definitely with us, was sometimes I would be the pursuer and you would be the one sort of trying to protect yourself. Sometimes you would be the pursuer in pursuing, like, okay, like maybe you weren't pursuing sex, but maybe you were pursuing emotional connection.
Yeah.
Maybe you were pursuing us making our relationship a priority. And yeah, maybe I was protecting because it was like, well, yeah, but if I do that, it's just going to lead to like rejection at some point. So why would I want to jump on board with you on that when the end result is me feeling badly about our relationship and about myself?
I think the pursuer withdrawal cycle like ebbs and flows, and both partners can be in both. I just remember the pressure that built the anxiety, that built the like walls around, for me, it was like our sex life. I mean, I just remember thinking like, oh my gosh, he wants to still have sex and we haven't been on a date in like 8 months. Like, fuck no. Like it, yeah. I started to like, I don't want to say weaponize, maybe. We didn't have quality date nights, but like you would be fine to hop in anytime for sex in bed. I'm like, but don't you see that like we need a date night? Like, I need to find out who I am again in that way. I can't just like have all these children and then go to bed and have sex. Like, I need to cultivate that part of me that feels beautiful and sexy and like going out to a nice dinner and having a nice glass of wine. And so I remember that was like a huge piece of it. I was like, I'm not giving you that if you can't cultivate this. And that is totally what kept us on opposite sides,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, you would be like, Tara, like, when is the last time we're intimate? And I'd be like, EJ, when's the last time you took me on a date? It was awful. It was, yeah, awful. I remembered. It was terrible.
Yeah.
It can't be that way. Both people have to work together in it. It can't be me waiting for you to cultivate date nights and then me being like, okay, now you're doing a really good job at that. So that maybe, because it's not really about that.
Well, and it ceases to be about the actual intimate connection emotionally,
yeah,
playfully, spiritually, sexually, and it just becomes about the pressurized cycle. And you don't realize it. You think it's still about the content, But really, it's because you're polarized in sort of how you're approaching it. And ultimately, in a lot of ways, like sort of trying to protect your nervous system, mm-hmm. right? Because that was the other thing is like, you know, the last thing I wanted was to activate you, to make you feel bad, to have you have it ruin, like, you know, yeah, maybe we weren't going on a date, but like maybe we were still having like having drinks out on our porch and reading questions to one another, which is, you know, we tried to still do that.
The kids screaming in the background.
Yes. But
so sexy.
But so I was like, well, I don't want to even freaking like ruin that part of it. So I'm going to stop pursuing.
Yeah.
I'm going to not even bring it up.
You resigned.
I resigned. And you were a lot of times asking me to not resign. You were asking me, and this kind of gets into a lot of what we'll probably talk about in the next episode. You were asking me to accept where it currently was. Like when you were really coming from like your more balanced place, you know, and you would try like all these ways. I remember one time you were like, EJ, just pretend my vagina is broken. It's just broke. It just doesn't work. So just like, let's just broken like take vagina. That off the table. And I get now what you were trying to do. You were like, you know, like, let's just think like this one area right now is just not happening. Let's just focus on the other stuff. And yeah. I really like, I struggled with that, mm-hmm. you know? And I think I also got into this like headspace that I see a ton of people get into, where I really thought you were almost like purposefully withholding it. Mm-hmm. And especially that conversation about like, well, we haven't had a date would make me feel like, oh, okay, now I get it. Because we're so busy, because we have a business, because we have all these kids, I'm being punished.
Yeah.
You know, because like, you know, because we can't literally make the time to do it, you're withholding something from me.
Yeah.
And then ultimately what happens is the whole idea of intimacy feels unsafe to both people. If you feel like you and your partner keep having the same conversation over and over, if you feel like you keep trying to connect, but you just miss each other, then this is for you.
So many couples are not lacking love. They are, however, lacking a roadmap. They feel overwhelmed, frustrated, and they're trying to figure it out on their own. Trust me, we know.
And Tara and I are now coaching couples globally. And honestly, it's become one of our favorite things to do. We're moving couples from me versus you to we. We're helping couples build that healthy, loving connection that they've always wanted.
This isn't about learning one more communication tool. It's about understanding yourself more deeply, understanding your partner more deeply to build that compassion, developing emotional safety, and building the relationship that you want to have in your life.
And because Tara and I coach every couple personally, we only have a limited amount of spaces available at any given time. So if you think the coaching might be the right thing for you, we would love to meet you.
You can schedule a complimentary 30-minute discovery call where we hear your story, we tell you about how we do our work, make sure that we're a really good fit.
You can click the link in the show notes, or you can email us at coaching@relationshiprenovation.com.
So please reach out. We would love to walk alongside you. Well, and here's another thing that happens, because I was so anxious and overwhelmed, and I knew that like having physical connection, sex was important to you. I would be like, first of all, I would be so relieved when my periods would start, because I'd be like, oh my gosh, I'm going to tell them, and like I got 5 days with no pressure. Like I would literally be so excited for my periods to start. Or I would just like disconnect and be like, okay, we're just going to have sex because that's going to like buy me 2 weeks. Like I literally just did not want to feel anxious and overwhelmed. So just make myself have sex. You never forced me. I want to say that. I would do it so I'd be like, so I could have 2 weeks of like calm, and that it's so unhealthy. But people do it because they, that pressurized system. And we're trying to say like, it can be different. We know it because we're living it now.
I think most times when you were like on the verge of like forcing yourself and we'd be sort of in that mode, I think you might remember, I'd be like, I don't want to do this. Like,
yeah, you could feel it.
Yeah, you're not into this. Like, and that's almost, yeah.
It's traumatic.
It's almost like on your side, you thought you were making some sacrifice that was going to make me happy. And I was like, no, this is almost worse. If you're just saying like your vagina's broke, well, then I can, you know, I can kind of get what's going on here. But if you're like making yourself do that with me, yeah. Ugh, like that feels yucky.
I know.
That feels gross.
I feel like caretaking intimacy could be its own podcast, but there's two parts of it. Like one is like, oh, I can see that they are really stressed out. So I'm going to like not even let them know that I still have feelings of friskiness for them, right? That's like, no, you want to be able to like be you and share all your frisky feelings with your partner and how much you love them and you find them attractive. And then there's also the caretaking intimacy. Like, I'm just going to do it so I can like get it done so that they can be relieved and then we can like move on. And then I know in another couple of weeks I'll have to write. So both of those are caretaking intimacy and it's really unhealthy. It truly builds more pressure and it disconnects you from like your heart.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that leads into the ultimate bad scene, which is that all intimacy stops feeling safe,
oh
right?
My
that,
gosh, yeah.
That for you, physical intimacy doesn't feel safe. For me, emotional intimacy doesn't feel safe. And it's just like, it's just this trap of like rejection and avoidance.
Fear of pressure.
And the fear of the pressure of like, that like, I don't know if I had it as like, directly as you, as far as like, oh, the pressure is off. But I think like on some level, there was like a little bit of like when we would occasionally, you know, hook up, it would be like, oh, okay. Like we still, like that works. Like we can do that. But then automatically I would feel almost like pressure again. Like, okay, when's the next time?
Oh my gosh.
Was that just like a total anomaly? Is it going to be like 2 or 3 months before we connect in that way again? And so the pressure automatically would start building right again.
And I love this because you wrote this down and I think it's so true. It's obligation replaces curiosity. Because I remember like very few and far between dates did we have in those first couple of years with the twins being born and having these 4 children under 5, I will say I would be getting ready for a date and I would be so anxious. I'm like, oh my God, he's going to expect that we're going to hook up tonight. Like it wasn't even like, I'm so excited for our date night and we're going to go out and we're going to have so much fun. We're going to come back. We're going to have awesome sex. Like I felt that obligation piece. So then I would literally sabotage it. Like, I don't know if you remember this, but like our first few days, I'd always end it with
an argument.
Because like I was, it wasn't like I'm going to get into an argument right at 11 o'clock, but it was so much anxiety. And then throughout the night, it would build by the closer we would get to be going home. And then it was just like, it's just awful. I just remember it. I mean, it was years ago, like 10 years ago, but I remember like it was yesterday. Yeah.
But, and I also really, I hope this is okay saying, so you can tell me cut it if you don't like it, but like, our intimacy struggles began after the twins were born, but because we didn't know how to deal with it in a healthy way, it prolonged over almost 10 years, right? Mm-hmm. Like it was something that we struggled with and it eventually there was a big shift, but it went on much longer because of the fact that we didn't have a healthy way of pulling pressure out of the system. So for people out there,
because we didn't know.
There's all kinds of different reasons that your intimacy goes offline and you guys pull apart in that way. And then it just becomes almost the normal. We see that with so many couples where we have couples who like, we haven't had sex in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have sex like 2 or 3 times a year, right? And that can go on for a long time. And it's really hard because that is, you know, we talked a lot about this as we got healthier and healthier of it is like what is sex and why is it important?
Yeah.
And it's like important, we sort of identify because it's like one of the really unique aspects of this relationship. You know, it's nobody else has access to that.
Unless you're in a polyamorous relationship.
Yes, of course. But in our relationship and most of the couples we work with, it is one of the like sweet aspects that you get to have with your partner.
Yeah. So before we move on, again, obligation replaces curiosity.
And then ultimately what happens is that couples attach new meanings to sex. Instead of sex being something that brings you together, that's fun, that's playful.
Yes, and you can see this in the valley with her name's Kristen. Dude, she loved sex. She loved having like, she was so flirty. They had a ball. And you could see just like as soon as he even brings it up, like literally her eyes roll. She has like immediate like this, oh, don't even talk about that. It's like, oh, we create our own new stories now because of this pressure. And they are so freaking believable. Yeah.
And they're things like, you don't want me.
All you care about is that. Don't you see all the other shit I do?
Yeah, I'm not enough. Like, nothing I'm doing is leading you to the place where you want to be with me in that way.
I only matter when we're physical. You're only happy after we have sex.
And then a big one, you know, we're just roommates. We're just raising this family. We're just doing our jobs, paying our bills. We are really just roommates now. And nobody likes that. Bond.
No, it feels awful.
Yeah. And
it's
really
hard to talk about.
Yeah. I mean, this jumps back to the whole thing about how this obligation sort of negates curiosity, because curiosity is what helps you understand your partner better. It's what makes you feel more understood as a partner. And so when there's no curiosity, you just stop talking about it. You're like, we've tried, doesn't work. Why even freaking talk about it?
Yeah, because you're talking about it in a pressurized way. Yeah. And so now it doesn't feel safe. And so conversations just don't happen. And
well, conversations feel dangerous.
They feel dangerous.
It feels like if we talk about this, it's just going to lead to conflict. Like we had to come up with some rules around like when to talk about, because even like the setting would be bad. Like, because oftentimes when would we talk about it? When we were in bed alone together.
Yeah. And it's such a vulnerable thing and it's... You kind of feel broken, each of you individually, but don't know how to talk about it because you're trying to understand it yourself.
Yeah. Defensiveness and hopelessness grow, which is not a good atmosphere for healthy communication.
Yeah.
And this is like so, 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 so sad. Silence feels safer.
Yeah.
You know, just let's not even go there anymore.
But it doesn't feel safe. It feels safe, but it doesn't. It also feels like awful.
Well, and then also what happened between the two of us is that we both resented each other for different reasons. Mm-hmm. No bueno. This is interesting because we're ending this episode really just, you know, sort of mired in the problem, right? Yeah. And I think in some ways it's good because it's really like representative of how couples feel. Like everything we just described is like a really, it's a big downer.
Yeah.
It really is disconnecting. Mm-hmm. It's our perspectives and our experiences were so different from one another and we didn't know how to talk about it in an empathetic way and we certainly didn't know how to take the pressure around intimacy away.
Yeah, and I love what you said here. You said most couples stop talking honestly before they stop touching.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say that's absolutely accurate for us.
Say it again, just so people can hear it.
Is that most couples stop talking before they stop touching.
Honestly, talking honestly.
Yeah, is that we weren't talking about, you know, ahead of time or even early on what the effect of our family dynamics changing was having on us, what you were going through in your body.
What you were going through with.
What I was going through. Like we just decided.
Honey Badger didn't care at that time.
Did not
care.
Like,
I don't give a shit about what you're going through. Do you see what I'm going through? Yeah. If I'm nursing these babies every hour, you have no room here. Like literally I had that feeling, which is so bad. Yeah.
But here we go.
Yes.
Let's swing around
out of this
to some
Give
good
me
news.
Part two.
And the good news is that you can take pressure out of the system.
We know it. We're living it, people.
We lived it. We have much more freedom now that we didn't have. We have the ability to talk about things when things feel a little bit like offline.
Emotionally safe. Intimacy can become emotionally safe again.
And not only, you know, I would even maybe like take out again, because I think our intimacy was just sort of easy and instinctual early on in our relationship. And I think a lot of couples experience that. And we actually, through the process of understanding that pressure and taking the pressure out of the system, we became emotionally transparent and emotionally safe. Maybe I'll speak for myself, maybe for the first time with you, but maybe with the first time ever with anyone.
Yeah. No, it means something so different to me now, for sure.
Yeah. So our part two is going to focus on how you and your partner collaboratively can take some pressure out of the system, build emotional safety around intimacy, and work towards together the intimate relationship that you really desire to
and
have.
And I would just like to throw this out there. Bravo, producers. If you need some relationship coaches to talk through this on the Valley, we are here. We see it. We're like, oh my gosh, they're not going to be vulnerable with each other. They're going to build resentment. And we already like know what's going to happen. So just like,
that's one of your like dreams to be like a, to be a cast member on a Bravo show, like supporting people through their relationships.
Well, it's more of the preventative stuff, because you see it build, like that whole model we've built, you see it with like the attachment stuff and the resentment and the unspoken expectations. Like, man, if you can get really good at doing this in the beginning of a relationship, you guys can make it.
And you see people struggle with it without any help. I mean,
so if you know a Bravo producer, please share this podcast.
So, I mean, yeah, but I mean, I think that's the bottom line, why we do this, why we're going to do this, two-part series is we've seen over and over when you get support, when you have some tools, when you have some, you know, understanding of what actually is happening, you can get through this stuff and it can bring you closer than you've ever been.
And if you don't know already, because this is your first podcast you're listening to, but we have, EJ has a men's group. We have a coaching program where EJ and I see couples together globally. We have a in-person counseling center in Tucson, Arizona, where we have 13 therapists who are all trained in our relationship renovation model. We have our podcast and our Patreon community where you can get support, and we have lives once or twice a month. And we also have our relationship renovation at home manual. You can get on Amazon for $24.99. And again, builds curiosity, builds skills, so that when you do go through life's transitions, and there are many, you feel more equipped instead of disempowered or powerless.
And if you enjoyed this podcast and you think that it's something that you or your partner or a friend might enjoy, please share it. We always appreciate you giving us a rating.
Yes, we love our reviews.
Yeah, reviews, comments. We respond to all of them. You can also just always like send us an email at podcast@relationshiprenovation. We'd love to get those as well.
So again, my closing, thank you so much for listening. As always, take care of yourself, take care of each other. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Most men aren't bad partners. They're just unequipped. You care about your relationship, but you keep having the same arguments. You shut down or you react, and then you regret it. That's not a character issue. That's a skill issue. And nobody ever taught you how to do this well. That's why I created Men Who Do the Work, an 8-week intensive to get better in your relationship. Not just talk about it, but actually practice it. You'll learn how to communicate without getting defensive and to stay grounded when things get tough, and help stop the patterns that are breaking things down. Small group, 8 men, weekly sessions, real accountability. And you'll work directly with me. So if you know it's time to do things differently, reach out. coaching@relationshiprenovation.com. Let's get to work. Most men aren't bad partners. They're just unequipped. You care about your relationship, but you keep having the same arguments. You shut down or you react, and then you regret it. That's not a character issue. That's a skill issue. and nobody ever taught you how to do this well. That's why I created Men Who Do the Work, an 8-week intensive to get better in your relationship. Not just talk about it, but actually practice it. You'll learn how to communicate without getting defensive and to stay grounded when things get tough, and help stop the patterns that are breaking things down. Small group, 8 men, weekly sessions, real accountability. And you'll work directly with me. So if you know it's time to do things differently, reach out. coaching@relationshiprenovation.com. Let's get to work.
Me and you just singing on the train. Me and you listening to the rain. Me and you, we are the same. Me and you have all the fame we need. Indeed, you and me, are we?